The government has, however, made a specific exemption allowing us to hold acts of remembrance out of doors. So from 10:55 today, we'll be holding two acts of remembrance. Our preacher today is Paul Southern, and he will lead the act of remembrance at the Fordham War Memorial. I will lead at the flagpole in front of the 8 Ash Green Church. If you plan to come, please read the attendance guidance on the church website carefully and aim to arrive by 10:50 a.m. Today we remember the cost that others have paid on our behalf for the freedoms that we now enjoy. We remember particularly those who fought during the two world wars. From 1939 to 1945, the reality of Britain being ruled by a foreign nation was a very real possibility. And we want to praise God that that didn't happen. During this COVID time, freedoms have been taken away from us. And this helps us to appreciate the freedoms that we normally enjoy and take for granted. Everything that you need for today's service can be found in the notice sheet and in a Bible. The notice sheet can be accessed through the church website. Let us pray together as we begin. Almighty God, we've come together to worship you, to offer you our praise and thanksgiving for deliverance in time of war, to recall to our minds those who through death, injury, or bereavement suffered to bring peace and freedom to our world. We are here to seek your forgiveness for our failure to achieve reconciliation between the nations and to ask for strength to overcome evil and injustice wherever they are found. We open our hearts to you and offer this time to you, asking that you speak encouragement to us through your word in the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Psalm 117 says, "Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever." Our first hymn is "Praise to the Lord, the Almighty." The lyrics are on page 2 of the notice sheet.
Oh,
Yes, Heavenly Father, we praise you this morning. You are the King of creation. You are worthy of our praise, and we celebrate you today. We ask that during this COVID time, which you have brought upon our world, you will shelter us under your wings and sustain us through this November lockdown. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. On this Remembrance Sunday, we consider the pain of war and we come to confess our own sins. The words of the confession are on page 2 of the service sheet. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." He also said, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." As we realize our failure to live up to Christ's standards and to obey his commands, let us come in penitence to seek God's forgiveness. A moment of quiet for you to reflect on your own. Almighty and merciful God, Lord of men and nations, we confess with shame the sins, both private and public, by which we've broken your law and grieved your spirit. We acknowledge the reproach that war has brought upon the name of Christ. We say together, we confess our lack of love for you and for our fellow men. For the sake of your Son, who died for us, save us from our sins. Take from us all hatred and bitterness, whether in thought, word, or action. Teach us to forgive as we are forgiven, so that we may grow more like him and live our lives according to your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. When people ask, how can God allow the horrors and sufferings of war? It is a challenging question. The crucifixion of Jesus does give something of an answer. It shows us that God took a step down from heaven into the pain of his world. On the cross, Jesus experienced the very worst of it. In our next song, we focus on the meaning of Jesus' death. He died for us so that our relationship with God could be healed and restored. As warfare is horrific, so was the cross. But Jesus' self-sacrifice is also wonderful to those who trust in him. The words of When I Survey are on page 2.
Oh,
God, who has promised to forgive all who repent of their sins and believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, grant us pardon for our sins, peace in our hearts, strength in his service, and everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today's Old Testament Bible reading will be read by Grace Kerr.
That's Psalm 120, starting at verse 1. I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. Save me, O Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. What will he do to you, and what more besides, O deceitful tongue? He will punish you with a warrior's sharp arrows, with burning coals of the broom tree. Woe to me that I dwell in Meshech, that I live among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I lived among those who hate peace. I am a man of peace, but when I speak, they are for war. This is the word of the Lord.
As we worship God together, we're going to declare our belief and trust in God using the words of the historic Apostles' Creed. This declaration of faith contains the basics of Christian belief. On this Remembrance Sunday, we especially note that God has suffered the experience of human suffering in the person of Jesus. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified. He died and was buried. So, Christian people, do you believe and trust in God the Father? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe and trust in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Our New Testament reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, starting at verse 5. So that's Luke 21, starting at verse 5. Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, "As for what you see here, The time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down. Teacher, they asked, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to take place? He replied, watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, claiming, I am he, and the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay hands on you and persecute you. They will deliver you to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. This will result in your being witnesses to them. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. It's my joy and privilege to be leading us in God's Word today. So if you have a Bible alongside, perhaps you'd like to open it at Psalm 120. We'll look at the Psalm first, and then a little bit later on, we should be looking at Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, verses 5 to 15. In the past 100 years, each generation has come to Remembrance Sunday bringing its own experience. Thankfully, there is a growing generation of young adults who have little or no recollection of our country engaging in warfare. It's different for my generation. Today, I recall my grandfather wounded at Passchendaele in 1917. And also my father, who in the Second World War survived Dunkirk in 1940 and the D-Day landings in 1944. These and the comparatively recent wars in Iraq and Afghanistan are fast fading into history. In the end, it isn't simply about the rights and wrongs of warfare worked out in the corridors of power. It's about young men and women prepared to risk their lives in the cause of freedom, justice, and peace. They did a century ago, and they still do now. And we must always remember them. So let's look briefly at these two Bible readings. First of all, Psalm 120. And the heading I've given to that is the problem of lies and deceit. So the first two verses, call on the Lord in difficult times. This psalm is the first of the so-called Psalms of Ascent that God's pilgrim people sang on their way to Jerusalem for their compulsory thrice-yearly celebrations or feasts. This is their time of remembrance. They recall in song their experiences in exile. The distress of verse 1 refers to the extent of the power of lies and deceit against them. They pleaded to the Lord that they might be saved from their effect. And in verses 3 and 4, we see the response of the Lord. the response, the recognition of the power of the deceitful tongue. Yes, it will hurt, but the Lord says, I will answer with arrows and coals. In the Psalms, they stand for truth and judgment. In verses 5 to 7, we see the misery of the situation. Meshach and Kedar are geographically north and south, encompassing the whole Gentile heathen world, with God's people in exile there. But they were able to sing of calling upon the Lord in their distress, with a plea to be saved from lying lips and deceitful tongues. They had to wait a long time for an answer. And the I of verse 7 is Israel personified. God's people wanted to talk peace, but their enemies were for war. They hated peace. Wars past, present, and no doubt in the future start with lies and deceit fostered in hearts set on warfare. So we see in verse 9 how difficult for the man of peace that when he speaks, the enemy wants war. Now let's look together briefly at Luke chapter 21, verses 5 to 15. And the heading I've given for this is the promise of words and wisdom at difficult times. Notice in verses 5 to 9, Jesus' control of events. There is perhaps something of idle security as Jesus' disciples casually gaze upon the beautiful adorned temple, much like us gazing at one of our magnificent medieval cathedrals, surviving the events of 10 centuries. Magnificent, immovable, permanent, even defiant. And into this security, Jesus speaks the unthinkable. He says, the time will come when not one stone will be left upon another. Every one of them will be thrown down. The temple occupied the central place in the nation's life. Not surprisingly, the disciples wanted to know when the demise of the temple would take place, and would there be a warning sign? Jesus sets the scene and provides the backdrop, but as for timing, he simply warns them in verse 8, watch out for those who claim to have inside knowledge, who claim to know the mind and will of God. They will deceive you. And in verses 10 to 15, we see Jesus' words and wisdom in difficult times. Verses 10 and 11 speak of prophecy, the conflict of nations and natural disasters. Jesus said there will be earthquakes, famines, pestilences, and fearful events. Nations rising against nations is scary stuff. It was for Jesus' disciples then, and it is now. I think we might well view COVID as a pestilence. And then verses 12 and 13, persecution, being hated for being disciples of Jesus. It will be unlikely that we would ever face what we read here. Yet for many a Bible-believing follower of Jesus, it's far from easy in their own situations, maybe in their families, or their school, or their university, or maybe their workplace. Today we especially remember our brothers and sisters in Christ engaged in war-torn places, working for peace, standing on the certainty and wisdom of God's word, battling against the effects of lies and deceit with the word of God. And then finally, verses 14 and 15, the promise of words and wisdom. What a wonderful antidote to worrying how they would defend themselves. The promise of words and wisdom that will completely floor their opponents' lies and deceitfulness. Words and wisdom speak to me of the promises made by Jesus and lived out in his life and death, his resurrection and his ascension. The Bible is painfully honest about life and death and directs us to the promises that God in Jesus Christ, he makes them and he keeps them. Promises that we can experience when we take him at his word and make him our savior and our guide. You see, Jesus really is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thanks be to God. Let's just have a prayer. We're going to be singing a hymn appropriate for today, and I want to make this our prayer. Thy kingdom come, O God, thy rule, O Christ, begin. Break with thine iron rod the tyrannies of sin. Where is thy reign of peace and purity and love? When shall all hatred cease, as in the realms above? When comes a promised time, the war shall be no more, when lust, oppression, crime shall flee thy face before? We pray thee, Lord, arise and come in thy great might. Revive our longing eyes which languish for thy sight. O'er lands both near and far, thick darkness broodeth yet. Arise, O morning star, arise and never set. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen.
And so we come to our time of prayer. Lord Jesus, this morning we come to you with thankful and grateful hearts for your presence with us. And we give you thanks for your church here and around the world. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can come to you anywhere, anytime. This amazing privilege to come in prayer and to bring the needs of the world to you. Some words from Galatians 5. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Our loving Heavenly Father, as lockdown continues, fill us with your Holy Spirit, that for the sake of your kingdom we might bear fruit. That our deep needs may be met by your hand as we struggle with the restrictions in our daily lives. Give us your love, joy, peace, and patience in our hearts, in spite of our circumstances. We pray that kindness and goodness may be exercised by us to our neighbour, our family, and to those in need. That we may stay faithful to you and to your word, and be able to rejoice in all that you have done for us. That we will be gentle and self-controlled in our lives, so that we may know your blessing in obedience. Keep us as a church bearing this fruit amongst each other as we try to support one another, and as we reach out to our communities and those in need with the good news of Jesus, even when we can't be together. We pray for our world at this time, when the pandemic can feel overpowering. Thank you that you remain fully in control. Help us to trust you in all things. We pray for a vaccine that will be effective to soon be available. We pray you will be with those working hard to make this possible. And we pray for all NHS workers who are tirelessly helping and looking after COVID patients and others in our hospitals and in our communities. Help them to keep going, especially when they are tired and exhausted. Thank you for all that they do in this COVID time. And as we think of our world, we pray for a peaceful transition of power in the United States of America. We pray that there the people too will want peace together. And now our special prayers on this Remembrance Sunday. Almighty God, today we remember past wars and those who fought in them, those who lived through them and those who died in them. And we pray for peace for the world. We pray for all those who are working for peace, that men, women and children of all nations may be able to live in the freedom that peace brings. We pray for our own nation, for our Queen Elizabeth. We give thanks for her long and tireless service to our worldwide family of nations, for her profession of faith in word and deed, and for her example of unselfish devotion to duty. Give strength and courage to her to continue to carry out the work you have called her to do. We pray for the governments of all lands, for those who bear the burden and privilege of leadership, that they may govern us wisely and well and do all in their power to bring reconciliation and peace. We remember before you, loving God, those who died in battle or from the consequences of injury or disease, for those who mourned or still mourn them. We remember those permanently maimed or disabled, and those psychologically scarred or disturbed, for those whose faith in God and in mankind has been weakened, for those who don't know or have failed to receive hope in Christ to sustain them in pain and sorrow. We remember all those who never came home, who gave their lives for our freedom. We hold before you those whose memory we cherish and those whose names we will never know. Help us to lift our eyes above the torment of this broken world and put our faith in the future in you. For you are the giver of life and the bringer of hope, now and forever. We remember that you have called us to strive together for the coming of your kingdom of love and peace. We pray for the communities where we live. Help us to work together to share your love and to stand for your truth. And we pray that you will equip us for the task with faith, that those that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Let's join our prayers together with the words of the Lord's Prayer. We say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
On Zoom at 11:30 this morning, it'll be great to see you. You'll be most welcome. Those who are assembling shoeboxes for the Operation Christmas Child project, this coming week is the time to drop off your boxes at Kingsland Church above Aldi in Colchester. Details are on the service sheet. The Christian Institute are running two meetings this week on the subject of identity matters. I do encourage church members to join in on the Zoom, and particularly if you're a PCC member, and the meetings will be on Wednesday and Thursday evenings. The one-hour session will show how a biblical perspective on identity relates to the contemporary issues of gender ideology, the sanctity of all human life, and God's design for the family. Full details are on page 7 in the notice sheet. The Evangelical Alliance is calling the church across the UK to make this coming Friday the 13th a day of prayer for our nation, to pray for our leaders, to pray for the lost, for the NHS, and to pray for the church that she will rise up during this time to make Jesus known in a powerful way. You can find out more on the EA website, where you can watch a two-minute video by Gavin Calver. And there's a link to that on page 8 of the notice sheet. As part of this, we're going to have an hour of prayer together on Zoom from 1 to 2 p.m. on the Friday. Please let the church office know if you'd like to join in, and the Zoom link will be emailed out on Thursday. Please see today's notice sheet for other news items. We finish with a prayer and the blessing, after which Paul Southern and I will leave for the two acts of remembrance. Almighty God, whose will is to restore all things in your beloved Son, Jesus, the King of all, govern the hearts and minds of those in authority and bring the families of the nations divided and torn apart by the ravages of sin to be subject to his just and gentle rule. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen.